22. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and they'll bring you a Bible. So I am thankful to be here and being able to share with you while Tim is gone. He usually asks us, whose turn is it? You know, I thought, I kind of raised my hand a little bit. Like, I think it's my turn. So let's go. Matthew 14:22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage, and thank you for the lessons that come from this. And Lord, I pray that as we get into this, that your Holy Spirit would be here to teach, to give revelation, and to give understanding this morning. And Lord, glorify yourself in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. When Robbie was 11 years old, it was time to put him in football. I was a football fanatic. And so I loved football, and I thought, my firstborn son, he's going to learn how to play football. So took him to practice, and there he was, you know, doing just fine. And coach, he wanted to put him in a different position. He was playing defense, and the coach wanted to put him on the offensive line. And as a dad, you're like, no, not the offensive line. And so Robbie, he wasn't getting it. And the coach started yelling at him, and I could see him getting frustrated because the coach was yelling at him, because he didn't have a dad who ever yelled at him. But that's not true. Okay? If anybody knows me, I was a yeller in my early years. But so coach was yelling at him, frustrated at him, and said, go run a lap. And he was so frustrated, he was just walking. I said, man, as a father, you don't want to see your kids fail. You don't want to see them frustrated. You don't want to see them in pain. You don't want to see them hurting. And so what I did was I was like, I need to go out there. So I went out there and I ran the lap with him. He might have a different story, but I remember running out there with him along and saying, "Come on, son, you're going to get through this." And to this day, he's a coach of Washington High School in the varsity team, and he ended up loving football. And the reason I tell you that story is this is what's happening. Jesus is watching his disciples. He sees them from afar struggling to get across the sea to that which he commanded them to do. And as we get into this this passage, it's impacted me in such a way that it's like, why? Why do I doubt? And so verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Now, there's three reasons why Jesus sent his disciples away. Let me give you a little bit of context here. So earlier in the chapter, earlier that day, John the Baptist was beheaded. And John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. And he was beheaded that day. And the disciples came and told him, hey, your cousin John the Baptist was beheaded and he's dead. And Jesus wanted to get away to pray, but he couldn't because he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. And so he started healing everyone. And then he fed the 5,000 that day. You know the story about the feeding of the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so Jesus was tired by the end of the day. But in John chapter 6, verse 15, it says that the crowd, that Jesus perceived that the crowd was going to forcibly try to make him king because their stomachs were filled. And Jesus didn't want that thought pattern infiltrating his disciples. And so he sent them away. He says, go to the other side. It says he made them go, but that word made means to constrain or strongly urge them to go. Because he didn't want the disciples thinking like the crowd. He didn't want them thinking in temporal matters. He wanted them thinking in eternal matters. And I think we sometimes are like this, like the crowd that just got fed. Jesus, I will make you king of my life if you get me this job. Lord, if you heal me, if Lord you heal my son, heal my daughter, heal my wife, heal my mom. Lord, I'll make you my king. If you provide this house for me, or you provide this promotion for me, Lord, I will make you king. And Jesus was saying, I will have none of that. You are not going to make me king based on what I have done for you in provisional and temporal things. Jesus just fed 5,000 people and they saw the miracle. But we think like that. We think in the realm of temporal, and Jesus is wanting to teach his disciples eternal things, spiritual things. He knew that the people that were there only understood the temporal. But he wanted to teach him about the spiritual and the eternal. Secondly, Jesus wanted and needed communion with his Father. Jesus wanted to get away and commune with his Father. See, this is Jesus who had been with his Father, you know, for eternity, and now he's come down. And now he's a man, and he's in human form. And he's being drawn of energy daily because everybody wants something from him. And he just wanted to get away, and he wanted to commune with his Father. Also, he wanted to pray for his disciples as he was sending them across the sea. You see, Jesus needed some rest. But he also needed to intercede. You see, Jesus seeks to intercede even before we go through the storm of life. We think, and our tendency to think, is that when Jesus commands us to do something, and he asks us to do something, that there's no storms. That everything is smooth. Everything is going to be okay. I don't understand why this is not happening. You know, I don't understand why things aren't going well. But Jesus actually caused the storm. You see, he'd been teaching them all day long. He'd been teaching them up to this point for the last 2 years about eternal things, and they weren't getting it. But he had a pop quiz. He says, I'm going to send them out, and I'm going to give them a test. And so he sends them out into the sea, knowing that the storm is going to push against them. And we think, why would Jesus send a storm? Because he wants to, what we call, there are storms of correction. Note that. There are storms of correction. And storms of correction do what? They correct you from going the wrong way. Jesus will put storms against you, and he'll put circumstances to keep you and to keep you away from sin. But there are also storms of perfection. And these storms, they're to develop you. They're to develop your character and your faith. It's to strengthen you. In James 1, what does it say? James 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance or perseverance." That's what it produces. And he's trying to produce in them. He knows that this is just the beginning of their ministry. So he has to train them to think in a different perspective. So he sends them out into the storm. And the Bible tells us that Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. He sits there at the right hand of God, ever living to intercede for us. You see, when I wasn't a Christian before, I didn't grasp that concept, that Jesus is for me, that Jesus wants to help me, that Jesus desires communion with me. I didn't realize that. I always thought that Jesus was there just to punish me when I did something wrong. And I was feared into doing the right thing. That's not the way we live the Christian life, out of fear. We live it out of faith, and we live it out of the love that he's poured on us. And so, Jesus lives to intercede for us. So, as Jesus sends his disciples, in Mark chapter 6, it says that Jesus is up there on the mountain watching his disciples struggle at rowing. And I was thinking on that, and I think, wow. So, not only did he send me into the storm, he's sitting there watching me struggle. It's like, Lord, why don't you help? He needs you to struggle harder and harder. He is not going to let you give up. He's going to push you to the point. He's going to allow you to get to the point to where he says, now's the time. Now's the time I need to come out to them. And so Jesus, he sees them struggling at in the storm and in the sea. And note this, that they're right in the middle of God's will. Jesus is the one who commanded them to go over to the other side, to get into the boat, go over to the other side. And I think when Jesus tells us to do something and says, this is the direction I want you to go, and we're struggling through it, we oftentimes think, this must not be God's will. Because it's such a struggle. You know, we went to Rancho de Sus Niños, about 3 weeks ago or so? And, you know, the dad, the Horners, when they first started, they had a lot of struggles. But the one thing he held on to was, the Lord called me to be here, and I know he's faithful. And he stuck to that. And that was over 30 years ago, or 29 years ago. And it's still going strong. And they have a lot of kids there. They have a lot of workers. They have a lot of ministry. And the ministries not only reach the Mexican people there, they started 3 or 4 churches there in Mexico. It's also reached to Nicaragua. It's reached to Romania. Just out of one man's obedience and endurance, that's how far the Lord can keep pushing us. Whenever there is a command of Jesus, it's always coupled with the power to obey. Whenever there's a command of Jesus, there's always the power to obey his command. You see, Jesus calls us sometimes to share with people about himself. He will give you the power. My many of you know that my wife works no longer for the church. She was children's ministry for 15 years, and now she's moved on and working for the police department. And I remember her jogging every day, and she'd stop at the PD, and, Lord, thank you that this is going to be my job one day, working for the Fremont Police Department. And she used to pray that prayer every time she jogged by the, knowing that that thought was inspired by the Lord. And as she was there getting rejected over and over and over again, about 20 times she's taken the test at different precincts trying to get in. Finally, one small job opened up, and that was working in the equipment room, making $9 an hour. She says, you know what, I'm going to get my foot in the door. Went through all the tests and everything, and there was opposition the whole way through. Even the detective says, I didn't like you. I didn't like you. I thought you were this and that and this and that. And she goes, but you have proved me wrong, and your friends have proved me wrong. Because she called about 10 people asking about her character just for a $9 job. But once she got in there, an opening for the CSO opened up, and over 600 people applied, and they only took four. And she was one of four of them. But she knew, and even the brothers knew, that this job is for her. Because the Lord wants to use her to be an influence to those people around her. And see, the Lord wants you to be an influence wherever you're at. He desires to use you. That's why He calls you. He calls you into ministry. He calls you to go out into the waters, into the deep sea. There was a verse Mike had sung, and it says, grace abounds in deeper waters. The deeper the waters, the deeper you go out, the more grace abounds. I love that. I love that Jesus is willing to come out when He sees us struggling. And so, in verse 24, it says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch, well, the fourth watch is when? The fourth watch is that morning from 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. The watches, their watch went in 3 hours. It started at 6 o'clock, went to 9 o'clock. That was the first watch, 9 to 12, second, 12 to 3, the third, and then 3 to 6 is the fourth. And so these guys have been struggling at rowing for at least 9 hours. 9 hours. They're struggling, and they only got halfway across. And so these guys are like struggling, and Jesus finally says, okay, it's time. And it says, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. Can you imagine you're out there in the sea and you see something walking towards you? If you're like these disciples, it says after that they cried out for fear. That word, they cried out for fear, means they squealed. Do you ever get scared? Do you ever get with that point where you just, sound like a girl? I'm kidding. That was kind of sad. Anyways. So immediately they cried out for fear, but immediately Jesus didn't want them to fear. He wanted them to know that it was Him. In Mark, so there's three Gospels that talk about this, Matthew, Mark, and John, and it said in Mark that He intended to pass them by. I was like, wow. How do you throw that in there, Jesus? What do you mean? Weren't you going to help them? Why did you intend to pass them by? I realized something. Is that Jesus is He's going to pass you by just to say, hey, I'm right here. If you need some help, call, you know. And after them seeing him, you know, I think Jesus is wanting to bring an encouragement to his disciples to show that, hey, I'm Lord over the storms. That I walk upon your storms in your life. That you don't have to fear because they're underneath my feet. And when we grasp that concept that our circumstances and our storms in our life are underneath his feet, it changes our perspective. It gives us a different thought pattern. Do you remember the story about Elijah? The king was angry at him, and he sent an army out to Elijah, and Elijah's there with his servant. And he asked him, well, what do you see? And the servant says, I see a huge army out there looking for us. And they're basically at his door, and there's a huge army of men, and he's all afraid. And then Elijah prayed, and he says, Lord, I pray that you would open my servant's eyes to see. And the servant, he says, now what do you see? And he says, I see an army of the Lord in chariots all around. That's a different perspective. He opened the eyes of Elijah's servant so that he can see what Elijah saw. When you realize that Jesus is on your side, that he knows exactly every circumstance you're going through, he knows the struggle that you feel, the pain and the hurt. He knows all of it. He's wanting you. He's wanting you just to cry out to him. Peter sees him, right? And I love Peter. Peter's, Lord, if that's you, he even calls him Lord. Like, I know it's you. But he still says, Lord, if that's you, command me to come out to you. And Jesus says, come, come. And so Peter steps down out of the boat. You imagine the YouTube video on that? Him stepping out of the boat, walking to Jesus on the water. And then what happened? It says that he put his eyes on the winds and the waves, that they were boisterous. And he began to sink. What's the lesson in that? Is that when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we put them on our circumstances, we begin to sink. When things aren't going well, and I can testify to this, you know, hundreds of times, that, you know, things are all caving in. And I'm just looking at the circumstances of my life and thinking, wow, there's no way out. There's no way out. And Jesus reminds me, look to me. What does Peter do? First thing he says is, Lord, save me. This tells me that Jesus answers the shortest of prayers, the simplest of prayers. I had to do this many times, Lord, save me. Especially my, we've had, you know, always financial difficulty and always been in a financial bind, you know, through my my walking with Jesus. And I just remember saying, Lord, save me. And there Jesus was always stretching out his hand and grabbing a hold of me and pulling me up. And you see, Peter's failure, he doesn't want you to continue to fail. Jesus doesn't, he's always the teacher. He doesn't want you to fail and continue to sink every time you think you can walk on water? So he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He asks them the question, why did you doubt? What were you afraid of? What did you fear? You were already walking on the water. You see, Peter, he's the only one of the disciples that wanted to walk where Jesus walked. He's the only one that wanted to jump out and walk on the water. I think because Peter wanted to be where Jesus was at. And the disciples are in the boat thinking, look at that dummy. You know? Look at that guy. He's always, you know, doing something dumb. Chopping off someone's ear or, you know. That's Peter. He's just always doing something, you know, off. But Peter was always the kind of guy who took risks. He took risks. And there he is in his failure, and Jesus grabs a hold of him and says, hey, why did you doubt? And I think we as Christians, we doubt and we fail over and over again. Jesus says, no, you need to learn in this storm. You need to learn what went wrong. Why you doubted, why you took your eyes off of me. And in sinking in my financial difficulties, I cried out, and the Lord saved me every single time. He's been faithful. He said, well, Robert, you know how to stop this from, you know, you failing again? I said, no, Lord, how? He says, tell your wife to get a job. We haven't had any financial difficulties since then. Hallelujah. I'm like, hallelujah. See? Sorry, honey. It's not true. He might have told her that, but he didn't tell me that. Anyways, he's got something for you. He's got something for you. But he wants to teach you in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your circumstance. He wants to teach you how to not fail in it again. He wants you to learn from it. I just love how Peter walked out there, and then it says they welcomed him into the boat. You see, I think oftentimes we just want to row on our own and keep rowing, thinking, we can do it. We can do it. We can get through this. And we try to use coping mechanisms to get through our circumstances. And we just keep rowing and keep rowing with no progress at all. And I think that sometimes, teaching the men in the men's ministry, no. I love these guys. Sometimes I think, man, these guys, they're just not getting it. Then sometimes I think, yeah, they're getting it. Then other times I think, no, they're not getting it. But I was so blessed. You guys remember little Jose that used to be here? He moved to Tracy, you know, with his kids. And he calls me up last Tuesday, Robert. I'm all, yeah, Jose, what's up? And he's all, I need prayer. All right. What do you want prayer for? He said, well, I'm starting a men's Bible study on Tuesday nights. I'm all, hallelujah. I'm all, yes, I'll pray for you. He's all, it starts tonight, so pray for me. He'd been preparing for the last few months this. And I'm like, that just lifted my spirits like, yes, yes, that is our goal, is that when we get taught by the Lord, when we get encouraged and strengthened by the Lord, we go out and do that for others. We take what we've learned and we give it away to others. That's the goal. That's what Jesus wants. In feeding the 5,000, Jesus says, here, I'll break the bread, I'll bless it, but I want you disciples to pass it out. And so the bread that Jesus broke in my heart this last week, these last 2 weeks, I'm giving it to you. That's what disciples do. They receive the bread from Jesus. They receive it from Him, and then they give it to those who will listen. And unfortunately, you guys are constrained and you have to listen to me. So I think some of us need to invite Jesus into our boat today. I really do. I think Jesus wants to come in to your boat and calm the storm. It says, and when they got into the boat, Jesus and Peter, the wind ceased. I think some of us are struggling to overcome the circumstance. The Lord wants us to rise above our circumstances, but not lose our faith, but to rise above it. But I think the turmoil that's inside our soul that just continually gives us anxiety and fear and whatever else, hate, He wants to calm that in your soul. But you have to invite Jesus in. And I think that's why He was going to pass by. Jesus is not going to enter your boat unless you invite Him in. And I think some of us need to invite Jesus into our boat and calm the storm and the anxiety in our life. Lastly, it says, Then those that were in the boat came and worshiped Jesus, saying, Truly, You are the Son of God. You see, worship is our response at the revelation of Jesus' power, His promise, His presence, and His faithfulness. I think some of us are lacking worship in our lives because we're not experiencing the power, we're not experiencing the promise and the faithfulness of God. And I think we lack worship of Jesus. And if you're lacking the worship of Jesus, that means that you're not experiencing the power. Because when you experience God's goodness, you experience His miracles. I've seen so many more miracles in this last 2-3 years and in my whole walk. Unbelievable. We in the men's, group, everybody asked for prayer. Harold, he asked for prayer to get a job. I said, Harold, you know you're going to get a job. Harold got a job. Just finished his probation in June, was it, or July? July. Just finished his probation. He's on steady now. Listen, prayers are answered continually. And I get to see this all the time because the men come and they share. And if there's something that's wrong, someone that's hurting, they'll send a prayer. Please, Rob, pray for this and ask the men to pray. Okay. Be ready. Worship the Lord when you receive that. And man, it's unbelievable. Could go on testimony after testimony about how good God is. And that's, I think, Jesus' ultimate desire, is that you experience Him, His presence, and His power, and His promise. And when you do that, man, worship's just going to flow from you. It's going to come out. So do you need Jesus to calm the storm in your life today? Maybe. You need Jesus. Do you need to welcome Him in your boat? Or maybe you need Him to save you this morning because you're sinking. Whatever it is, Jesus is waiting. He's there. And He's for you. He's not against you. He's for you. And He desires to see you move forward. In some of you, He's trying to develop your character and your faith and your patience and your endurance. He's developing that. When you see that, and you see that perspective, you think, okay, this is just another test. You know how the teacher used to always do a pop quiz at school? I used to get it, and I was like, I didn't study none of this stuff. Well, you were supposed to. She just wanted to know where we were at. She wanted to know what was in here, what I knew. Jesus doesn't want to know what you know. He already knows what you know. He wants you to know what you know and what you really believe. Because when the storms of life come, the way you react determines or tells us where we're at in our spiritual life. Are we ready just to throw in the towel? Jesus, if you don't get me out of this, I'm out of here. No. No, Jesus is there to strengthen your faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning and thank you for the lesson that you have shown Peter. That Jesus, even in our failures, you stretch out your hand to reach us. Even when we feel like we're sinking, Lord, you pull us up. And Lord, when we doubt you, forgive us. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be your disciple, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. I pray, Father, that those who are here this morning receive something from you, that you spoke to each and every heart, that you will meet the need that they have. And Father, may we always seek to commune with you, to see not our own perspective, but to not see our own circumstance, but to keep focused on Jesus as we walk this walk of faith. May our eyes never be taken off you, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.